Do you want to hear a thrilling audiobook that will have your pulse racing at every turn? I'm Peter James, and the audiobook of my brand new novel, Absolute Proof, is available now on Audible. It's a race against time international thriller, voiced by Hugh Bonneville. In Absolute Proof, we follow investigative reporter Ross Hunter, who nearly doesn't answer the phone call that will change his life and possibly the world forever. So download the audiobook now and enjoy plenty of plot twists and heart-pounding tension. The audiobook of Absolute Proof by me, Peter James, read by Hugh Bonneville, is available to download from Audible now.
At DFS, we know how important your sofa is at this time of year.
Oh, that's better.
After all, it's the place where you and your nearest and dearest will cozy up together. That's why our autumn-winter collection sofas are handmade to order for complete comfort. They're also up to half price and available with 4 years interest-free credit. So why not cozy up while our prices are down? Order now for guaranteed Christmas delivery on many sofas. But be quick, selected sofas end soon. DFS.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna. God, I love that Banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni. She don't take no baloney.
Hot dang. It's Jessica Dang.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster,
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony, give them hell, Miss Noel,
the incredible edible Matthews sisters,
and Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens,
crappens, crappens,
watch what crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens, watch what crappens, who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me on this wonderfully beautiful autumn day, it's the wonderful and beautiful Ronnie Karam from Rose Prick's Bachelor Rose podcast. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello.
Hello. So we are fresh back from New York City. We had a wonderful, wonderful time there. Thank you, everyone who came to our shows. It was just great. We talked about our whole New York City time on our bonus episode, which is available at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That'll be up today or tomorrow. Go listen to that and you'll hear about our whole trip. We had a really, really a great time. So thanks again for everyone coming. In about a few weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, November 9th, we are taking our show to Seattle. We don't know what we're going to be recovering just yet, but it's going to be funny. The shows are always just so fun. It's great to be in a room with just your people, you know? And if you're worried about going solo, don't worry. There's always people to make friends with, maybe organize like a pre-show meetup, make friends. Don't worry. It's so fun. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get tickets for the Seattle show. And then in December, we have a Nashville show with not a lot of tickets left. I think less than 50. I could be wrong, but I think it's like even maybe less than 25. Who knows? Just get your tickets. watchwhatcrappens.com for that. And then, of course, while you were there, you should buy your King of Snarkasm t-shirt. Those are up now, and those are really fun. And I just have to say that it was a huge thrill in New York to do King of Snarkasm and have an entire giant theater full of people do the whole part. That was amazing. So that's that. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi.
So today we're going to be covering Married to Medicine, but we wanted to also touch on Shahs of Sunset because it was really fun, and we didn't cover it last week because we did our New York Morocco episode. And so we actually already recorded our thoughts on Shahs of Sunset, and guess what? record wasn't pressed. Luckily, Ronnie has recorded a backup, but it comes out sort of like midway through, and we are too pooped to go back and re-record. So basically the point is Mike is a fucker. He never denied that he was boning some waitress in Vegas, and he's ridiculous. So we're just going to insert right here what we do have left of our Shaw's discussion, because we do have some, and then we're going to come back and talk marriage medicine.
I mean, Reza is—he's so low down and dirty. Anytime he's in the wrong, he just gets nastier and nastier. That whole, "Oh, it's our fault you got divorced because you couldn't keep it in your pants, and it's our fault, white girl." So then Mike's like, "I'm never talking to Reza again."
He's also 10 times smarter than everyone on the cast, by the way.
Which, you know, it's like it's a low bar. So Mike's like,
literally, they have a low bar in there. They're like, "Do you want to have a drink from the high bar
or the low bar? We have both of them in the suites."
So they could just roll over in bed and have, like, nuts off the bar. Like a bed bar.
Yeah, they have, like, bars at different heights. So that way you have to have minimal movement to access the cocktails.
So Mike's like, I can never trust you again. You're my brother. I'm done with Reza. This is it. I'm done with him. We are not brothers anymore. Never again. And then, like, the next 5 seconds, Reza's like, "Then you'll say you are my brother, but then you are mean to me, and I do everything in your house. And why can't you just say thank you for doing things in my house for me?"
"Mike, I try to be a brother to you, but you don't let it make it easy, Mike. Mike, you don't say what's happening inside you, and how can a brother feel that way?"
And so Mike's like, "You don't understand, Reza. When I cheated on Jessica, I was so hard on everyone. Everyone. My mother got hurt. My father got hurt. My sister got hurt. My dog got hurt. My carpets got hurt. My bushes got hurt. Every mirror on the side of every car in LA still gets hurt when I drive by. Okay?
Like, part of me, this is why I give socks to homeless people, okay? This is why. But then I feel bad. Like, I can't even date. I can't even date homeless people without socks anymore because of what I did to Jessica. This is why I cheat with random whores in Las Vegas." Which, by the way, notice that Mike sobbed and cried, and so we never got to find out if he cheated or not.
He never said where he was. Exactly. Funny, we never got to the, like, he stayed over somewhere, and he's like, this is why. Like, how many baby shoes do I have to make to fill in the hole in my heart for what I did? A part of me died. It died in there. So
I like when Reza says, "You never let your internal spirit shine through thusly, Mike." It was like something so stupid. I was like, his internal spirit is showing through, okay? And yeah, those plugs, they just look like hair plugs, okay? That's his shitty internal spirit.
That bump in his groin, that's his internal spirit rising. So, so then he's like, "Do you know Jessica? She went to Tony Robbins. And she called me up and said, I am enough. I am enough.
She yelled, I am enough. I am enough." Apparently not, because you were fucking some other hoe last night. You know, Tony Robbins can fill you with as much positivity as he's got left in him. It doesn't change anything, okay?
Also, Tony Robbins is super problematic, so the fact that Jessica is turning to him for advice in relationships is hilarious. But I think that basically it was more that, like, she felt like shit about that whole situation, right? And so that's why she left him, because she's like, I am enough. I don't need Mike. So then we learned, by the way, what cracked me up is that we learned that Morgan dumped Mike because he kept talking down to her, and how I was like, I cannot believe that Morgan is the person who actually has sense on this episode. Like out of nowhere, Morgan has a brain.
Yeah, she's like, Tony Robbins said, I am enough. Then he grabbed my ass. And I am done with you, Mike. I am done. And then Mike sobs. I mean, somehow he still found out a way to put a whole, you know, Sephora store on his face in between, like, fucking some rando and then coming in here and sobbing. I just can't with these men who were, like, fucking everything, fucking over every girl they date and then crying. And it's just because they're sensitive, okay? That's the only reason, guys.
Exactly. And then, of course, Mike and Reza are, like, hugging. It's like, we have a complicated relationship, you know? That's like family, you know? Like, you fight, but you get along together, and you hug, and you undermine each other, and you ruin each other's marriages. But that's like family, you know? I'm like, okay, enough, you two. And then, also, I just have to talk about, Sherman got his man bun cut off, which was a big moment for him. Which I was proud. I was proud of the group coming together to shame him enough to get rid of the man bun. It was overdue. But here's the thing, that car he's driving. So I don't know my car models very well, but he basically, we've talked about his car, but this episode, I feel like I really got a good look at the car. It's that Mercedes. Is it the G-Wagon? Is that what it's called?
I don't know. Who are you asking?
You know that? Well, you know, I think it's called the G-Wagon, where the Mercedes, where it's like a big box on wheels, but he modified it. So that way, like, the housing for the wheels sort of like extends out, and then it has like monster truck tires on it. And just seeing the car from like a wide angle and seeing it going down the street, I was like, this is exactly Shervin right here. Okay. And I love Shervin. I think Shervin is sweet, and I think he's also relatively intelligent. But he has very douchey tendencies. And just looking at this, you know, cause you can see the G-Wagon, and we all like, you know what a regular G-Wagon looks like proportionally. You see this car, and then it's been like propped up with this like giant add-ons, and it just looks ridiculous. It's like imagine looking at like a little tractor, and then the tractor has like penny farthing wheels on it. It's like, what is that? It doesn't make any sense.
I just feel like if I was ever running for mayor, you know, there's so much wrong with LA that it's really hard to encapsulate it in a stump speech. So I'd be like, listen, everybody, this town is disgusting, and we need to fix it. This is everything wrong with L.A. And then I'd just open a curtain, and it would be that car and a guy with a man bun in it. Okay,
A.K.A. Shervin.
Yes, that is everything wrong with L.A., is that whole picture.
Yeah. I mean, that it really, the more I see that G-Wagon, that souped-up G-Wagon, the more annoyed I get. And you know it probably makes noise.
But
you
don't know, use a straw. Don't use a fucking straw, anybody.
But a G-Wagon that's going to guzzle up, like, all sorts of gas, and is so big that it can take up two parking spots, which is an added inefficiency in a city, that's okay. That's okay.
Hey, everybody, look in the mirror. If you're a human, you're a fucking hypocrite. I'm sick of it, and I'm going to keep my straws. I don't care what any of you say.
Well, wait, I just want you to know that by you saying you're going to keep your straws, you're actually fulfilling the whole reason for that campaign, which is that you reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Well, I've been using the same Starbucks straw for 3 weeks now, so there.
There, so it's working. Yeah, you're actually proving the point that it's actually been good that they're getting rid of straws, because now people are, instead of just throwing out straw after straw after straw, you're using the same straw.
Oh, yeah, hug a tree, kick a turtle.
But by the straws will be back, and I'll tell you why. Because they tried to take away plastic bags. They made it that, like, if you wanted to have a bag at the grocery store, you have to pay 10 cents. And that was enough to be like super annoying. I don't know why. It's just like on principle that, like, I know I started using tote bags a whole lot more. And then they changed the law that, like, now you get charged no matter what. They changed some law where the supermarkets were like, well, fuck it, we're bringing bags back. And then you get bags again. So the straws will be back.
Yeah, well, it's like when they got everybody to get a Prius, and they were like, you can go in the carpool lane if you get a Prius because you're helping the earth. And then they took all of those away, and now because everybody's getting such good gas, now instead of a gas tax, they're going to just put a mileage tax. You see? This is how they trick you.
What do you mean?
Meaning you're going to pay, even if you drive a smart car that uses no gas, you're going to have to pay a tax based on your mileage, so that the people who bought a smart car to pay less in gas aren't going to get away with that shit anymore.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Also crazy is watching Gigi try to do an elevator pitch for her Woosah. Is that the name of her?
I think she really expected to be throwing a ball in an elevator. I mean, this girl.
Yeah, she really thought like she was going to be learning baseball in an elevator. And wow, that was mortifying to watch.
Yeah, so everybody knew that Gigi was going to fail at this. I mean, I think this was like the setup. Like, Nima gave her 3 weeks in order to make, I don't know. It's almost like he gave her more time to freak out about it so she would fail harder.
Yeah.
But God, she really failed. And there was you're talking to a bunch of potheads, which is even worse. Even they're like, oh my God, get some energy.
And I thought it was going to be one of these classic reality show things where they show some stutters and some bumps and an awkward opening. And you're like, oh no. But then, like, they find their footing and then they get really inspirational. And then by the end, everyone's clapping and they really kill it. But no, she just was terrible the entire time. It got worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
And then in the middle of the pitch, she goes, listen, I'm going to say something that they told me not to say. I've never had a job in my life. It's like, oh, okay. here, take my money.
Yeah. Like, to get more respect. And people just looked at her like, I have a full facial tattoo, and I still look like I'm looking down on you. So that was pretty much that. Except, of course, I know everybody's dying to know about Destiny's parents.
Oh, God.
I don't care. I do not care. Stop talking about this. It's all she talks about. All Destiny's doing this season is going, yes!
She doesn't really...
Yes!
She's...
Yes, honey! Click, 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 click. Oh, I need to find my dad!
Okay. Even just talking about it makes me cry. I'm like, oh, and you know, how many times do I have to watch her, like, dab the bottom of her eyes to get the tears away? I can't.
Now, I did like when Mikey came to Vegas, and he's like, yeah, I'm a gift. Oh, this beef. And then he goes into Tommy. He seems like a Mike. I mean, I don't know. It's like any interchangeable jersey name, basically.
Yeah.
So Tommy. And then he goes into MJ, and she's asleep, and he's like, hey, baby, it's me, your present. And she goes, you need some mouthwash. And he's like, yeah, you could use some mouthwash yourself, honey. I was like, and that's love.
Yeah, love. That's love right there. Exactly. So that was Shaw's. That's basically all the stuff that was worthwhile, because the middle of the episode was just like dead, dull, and terrible. More wedding planning, whatever bullshit.
Well, I don't know, because I got kind of bored. No offense, because Destiny seems like she's really nice, but God damn it, she's boring me. So it came to Destiny doing her fake crying over some dad thing. And so I was like, I'm going to go use my new nose vacuumer. And then I was in there, you know, vacuuming my skin and giving myself tiny little red bruises all over my face. So thanks a lot, Shaws. Thanks for more self-harm.
A bitch needs to take a commercial break. Bitch be like, time for a commercial. That's so Persian.
Listen to the award-winning Women in Business podcast from NatWest, a series presented by June Sarpong. Discussing the highs and lows, she's joined by budding entrepreneurs alongside NatWest's Women in Business specialists. Plus tips from leading businesswomen, including Martha Lane Fox and the British Fashion Council's Caroline Rush. Search NatWest to listen and subscribe, and to find more interviews with industry experts, hosted by Mary Portis.
Feeling tense or stressed out? Calm your mind, body, and soul and prepare for the best night's sleep of your life with Clarins new Beauty Sleep Wellness Treatment. Clarins are experts in skincare and also offer luxurious facials and body massages in their skin spas. Their new treatment, Beauty Sleep, incorporates soothing massage and plant-powered products to release stress, and a relaxing facial to help calm your skin. Book online today at clarins.co.uk/skinspa. Clarins. It's all about you.
Okay, let's move on to Married to Medicine, shall we?
Okay, let's do it.
Woo! Okay, Married to Medicine. So, Married to Medicine, last week it ended with Contessa going into surgery for her double mastectomy. And this week, you know, they did the previous leads and they showed her getting wheeled off, and the music was like dun 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 dun, and like it was so intense that they didn't even do the opening credits. They just said Married to Medicine. I was like dun 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 dun. And then it's like her getting wheeled out of surgery and being like, I'm fine. I was like, why this crazy music build up?
Well, I was really glad when that crazy buildup led up to her getting her chest open and then there was a Pop-Tart inside. I was like, wow, this is a nice ending. But no, seriously, a question. Why do we need to... Some things are private. And I get that you're on a show and you're sharing your life and this is part of it. And I'm not saying you should keep this a secret and all that. You know, good for you for sharing it. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people by sharing it. I do not need a fucking iPhone in your face the second you wake up from surgery. I don't need it. Nobody needs it. Get the fuck out of there. Stop. Why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
So, not everything needs to be recorded, okay? And for those of my friends who have babies, I'm so happy for you. I don't want to see it bursting through your vaginal wall or vaginal wall, okay? Don't show me that at dinner parties.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. It didn't bother me that much. What bothered me was the manipulation on Bravo's part of making this music sound like guess what? Contessa went to surgery and no one ever saw her again. Where is Contessa? Like, are we in the middle of like some sort of like Janet Ivanovich mystery? No, she's like fine, like the surgery happens, and like it's like it'd be one thing if they teased it out, like dun 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 dun, like, you know, 5 minutes of pacing and when she can be ready and people coming over and where's Contessa? I'm just worried. But they literally were like, dun, 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 married to medicine, dun, 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 dun. All right, the surgery was a success.
Well, it was just disturbing because she's in, it's like, and boom, her, like, close up of her in extreme pain. She's still out of it from meds. She's sobbing, and she's got fake eyelashes, like, hanging off of her eye. I'm like, what, did somebody come in here and do her makeup to make her ready for this iPhone camera footage? Just let the woman rest.
It was Priv's hospital
unit. I mean, for Christ's sake, God. Priv MD.
Yeah, Priv MD. And they would put on the, like, the eyelash sideways. Like, there we go. That looks good. We have some bad news. Is my wife all right? She's fine. We just couldn't make her face look yellow enough. Oh, yeah. Are you a doctor? No, I'm just with the makeup team.
Priv MD. They never figure out the mystery illness, but God damn it, you have a different color face when you come out of there. You know, like a different toned skin and like eyelashes hanging off.
Exactly. So Contessa. So we go from Contessa coming out of a traumatic double mastectomy surgery to Regina Doyle with the kids in the park. I was like, oh.
The most shallow shit ever, okay? This family, like, I love this family because they crack me up, but God, they're shallow. They're having a picnic, and Toya goes, so, what did you ask for your prayers? And the kid goes, a house with a pool. I was like, well, good. Glad we're focusing on the positive.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's starving children all over the world, right?
Well, they're kids. They're allowed to ask for a pool, if you ask me.
They're Toya's kids.
Yeah, that's true. When they say pool, they really mean, like, a wave pool, you know? So... Quad, and then we see Quad, who I think was with the sister circle shopping, you know, with a glass of Prosecco. And then we see Aiden jumping rope, you know, all the usual stuff.
We learned Mariah's rhyme for jumping rope. Down by the river, hanky panky. I was like, wait a minute, I think you're missing a bunch of words in there. I didn't jump rope that much, but and that thing, yes, it was the sister circle, and you can tell when Quad's with the sister circle because they're always laughing and talking like way too loudly because they're very aware of being on camera, and they're like morning show people. Exactly. You know what I mean? She's like, and they're like,
they like walk everywhere with linked arms. Yeah.
Take that booty outside, Quad! Yes, Quad! I'm like, you guys are in a dressing room. Could you please keep it down?
Yeah, you know it's the sister circle because they keep throwing it to sports. Like, well, that looks great on you, Quad. Now let's go see what happened with the Knicks last night. Like, you're shopping.
Now let's see what this bra tastes like. Thank you for coming to the sister circle.
Yeah. Now, Quad, will you cook us your famous lamb chops? Like, you're a Banana Republic.
So then Heavenly comes home, and you just see Daddy looking like he's taken 30 Xanax, as usual, in his scrubs, as usual, sitting at his electric piano, his Casio keyboard.
Yeah.
And they keep giving us a close-up of these sunglasses just to remind us that Daddy's also a musician.
And I like that when Daddy is playing on his Casio, he's still in scrubs. Like, he's not even like, not even just like gonna casually get into like cool musician clothes. He's like, just scrubs 24 hours. Like, if he's gonna be sitting, he's gonna be in scrubs.
I wonder if we're gonna find out one day that Daddy's never even been a doctor.
he's a music doctor. Fishy.
It's just fishy that he's always in scrubs at this point.
I know. I mean, to be fair, Dr. Luke, also not a doctor. And also very problematic.
Who's Dr. Luke?
Just Google Kesha, and you'll find it all.
Oh. And what happened to Kesha? Is she still around after all of that?
Yeah.
Last thing I saw was her on that reality show where the wall comes up and down. I was like, wow, wasn't this show psychic?
No, Kesha released an album this year, and she had, like, some powerful anthems on it. You know, she had some good, like, award show performances. You know, I feel like everyone's Team Kesha these days, and I'm happy for her.
Of course. I give her partial credit for the success of Westworld, you know?
Why is that?
Okay, because you're rooting for the robots, you know? You want them to, like, start feeling things and come through everything. It's like they were just sex robots. They were built to be just sex robots, and they're traumatized, and they're hurt. And then, like, by season three, they just start killing bitches.
Well, if you think about it, Kesha is, like, one twist of fate away from having been Trixie Monocle. Like, wake up in the morning and I smell like that Jack Daniels, whatever. Like, that's like a Trixie Monocle joint right there. Like, if you really think about it, like, TikTok. The song's called TikTok. TikTok, let me stop, let me moon it on the clock all night. I mean, like, that should be royalty-free music that gets played in transition shots on Bravo. And yet somehow it's a huge hit.
You better move.
Like, I bet Trixie Monocle secretly wrote TikTok and is just furious at Kesha because Kesha took it and, like, you know, Trixie was like, "Oh, Kesha, here's this great song. I think you should sing it. And we're going to submit it to Bravo and they're going to play it in the middle of Ladies of London." And Kesha's like, "Sure, great." And she takes it and she's like, "I want to make my own album with this, with no royalty free. It's all royalties." And Trixie's just angry in the corner.
Trixie gets screwed again.
Yeah, by Kesha.
By Kesha. So Heavenly comes home and Daddy's making music and she's like, "Daddy, didn't you know I was coming home, Daddy?" And he's like, "Obviously you feel like fussing on me. Go ahead and fuss on me." And she's like, "But didn't you know I was coming? It should have been outside, Daddy."
Like, did she expect an Aviva Drescher style banner above the house being like, "Congratulations, yeah, you made it."
Yeah, she wanted him to be standing outside to be like, "Hello, welcome home, Heavenly."
"Now that's the sort of enthusiasm I like to see when I get home, Daddy."
"His music is his mistress, and I'll kill that bitch."
"That who?"
Yeah.
"He didn't mean to do it. He didn't mean to do it."
"Daddy, so Daddy, I went back to my childhood home, and I saw my sister's room, and I touched the doorknob, and I started to shake. I got real nervous, Daddy."
You know, he's like, "Well, maybe you never dealt with how you feel from all the traumas of your childhood." Like, you think, Daddy? You think?
"My mom didn't want to go to Germany, Daddy."
And then there's, like, a weird close-up on his sunglasses again. This scene was very confusing.
You see, like, Heavenly, like, tearing up a dirndl. She's like, "I don't have any issues from my childhood. Dirndl cut, dirndl cut, dirndl cut."
He's like, "I'm proud of you, buddy. You could have swept that under the rug for years, but instead, you didn't sweep it under the rug." And she's like,
"Thank you, Daddy. I want to be the best me, Daddy." And
he's like, "I'm proud of you, buddy."
"Thank you, Daddy."
"Love you, buddy."
"Love you, Daddy."
Cut to Allura finding, like, a pack of bratwurst under a rug. "Wait, you did sweep it under the rug."
"Damn it, Allura."
"Daddy, I got a blister. I'm gonna kiss it, Daddy."
Get the blister juice all over her face.
"My daddy. My daddy.
My daddy and me."
So now we go to Contessa's house, and Contessa is, like, you know, walking gingerly. She's like, you know, understandably. And she gets into bed. And I don't know, this was cringeworthy, watching the kids come in, and they just, like, pile on, and they just go directly for her chest, like, "Mommy, let me go jump onto your chest." It's like, one after another, oh, like, boom, 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 boom. I was like, oh my God, Contessa, just say no, not on the chest, not on the chest.
God, Scott, could you have warned them? He's like, "Okay, have fun, the kids are coming in." They're like, "Mommy!"
They said they really want to play their favorite game of punch a chest. You want to do that, Contessa?
Jeez, poor thing. So next up, the music is like, "Oomps, oomps, 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 oomps." It's like, "Party, party, yeah, party, we're partying." It's Jackie spraying down a table outside.
She's just wiping down some patio furniture. Curtis comes out. He's like, "Want me to help?" She's like, "Well, you could help." He's like, "Great, bye." No.
Yeah. She's wearing a t-shirt that says, "Be the change that you would like to see in the world while being fit in your knees." So she's cleaning off dust and pollen, and every time they talk and have a scene, it sounds like they're fighting to me.
Yeah, well, because when they were fighting, that's how they sounded.
Yeah.
Curtis, are you going to help me wipe down this patio furniture? Well, I might if you spend more time with me. Like, oh, that was like their version of like a knockdown fight.
And she's talking about going to see Heavenly and how a lot of them were probably raised with crazy rules that they didn't know were crazy until later and took a step back and realized, you know, like most of us do, that our parents are fucking crazy too.
Yeah.
And they're just people or whatever. And he's like, "Well, I had 13 brothers and sisters and not a one of us caused trouble." And then she just slowly turns her head to him and just stares at him like, "Are we going to pretend that you did not have an affair that was picked up on the blogs?" And he just looks at her and he's like, "Is that so crazy?
Are we just going to pretend that you don't drive a Studebaker around this stupid town all day long?"
I'm sorry, but I will never forget Jackie washing down that PT Cruiser outside.
Yeah, no, that was
It will never not make me sad.
I know, exactly. So they're going to look for a dream home, which clearly will not be an apartment in the city because Curtis doesn't like living in the city, as we learned a few seasons ago. So they want to get out of this house. They're going to be looking for it. And while they're talking about it, Curtis is like... So she's like, Curtis, do you have a sinus infection? And he's like, yeah. And so she starts tapping his eyes or whatever to see if it hurts. And he's like, stop, Mom. He's like, I'm gonna make an appointment to see a real doctor. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. How about this? You should be so happy that her fake doctor-ness is giving you such a fake paycheck to buy your fake Studebakers.
Yeah. She's like, the old house has old memories. And we want to forsake those memories and not think of them again. Fresh house, fresh slate. Hey, guess what? Here's an option. Try fresh man.
Yeah. Okay? Yes. Fresh man. So
he can still cheat on you in that house. Get a different man.
Like, literally get a freshman from the college. Just like, why not be a cougar?
If anyone's earned a freshman, it's you, girl.
Yeah, exactly. There's plenty of options, I'm sure. So now
Toria goes to see Forever Home, which looks like it's already falling down. Did you notice that it's kind of tilted?
I didn't notice it, but I'm just assuming at this point that everything is just like constructed out of like paper, tissue paper and gauze and twigs.
Yeah, and the kid is like, I am amazed at this house. He's like, guy that's good, Guiley's good. He lives on Capitol Wood Street. I'm like, you guys cannot afford this house. Who do you think you're kidding?
Yeah, I did think it was cute when her son was like, I was amazed to see the progress here. I'm like, aren't we all? It's literally like made out of like the material that they make IKEA lampshades out of, you know? Like, people are gonna
it's
walk
like a
by
paper that lantern.
Yeah, people are gonna walk by that house at night, and they're gonna be seeing like a shadow puppetry show. You know, just them walking around. They'd be like, "Ooh, what's happening in their house? Let's watch the show."
So Eugene is like, "Okay, your room is over there, and yours is there." She's like, "No, because that's above our bedroom. I wouldn't have children above our bedroom. I'm a woman who makes noises. I don't want my children to hear those noises. I haven't had insulation." Spray foam.
So then there's like a little bit of a scene of Toya feeling bad about making her kids switch schools for like the fourth time. She's like, I kind of feel bad because when I go, I went to the schools. I kept on switching schools. I didn't have the friends. So I don't want my kids to have not have friends because we've had to move them already four times. I'm like, well, how about you buy a house that you can afford so you don't have to move your poor kids around all the time?
Yeah. And I like that she's talking about him like he's an army brat. Like, this is his trauma, moving to four different mansions. He'll survive,
yeah.
Toya.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Exactly. Four different mansions. You're so right.
She's like, I'm not going to feel for you right now. Okay. Yeah. So up at North House, it's dinner. Miles is home from college. Mm-hmm. And Simone, of course, is just very Simone in this whole scene. She's got a very big straw, which I approve of. And she's just sipping it passive aggressively the whole time, and it's so
which
funny.
I approve
she's like,
of.
Yeah, me too. She's like, "Hello, Miles. It has been such a long time since we have seen you."
Is there anyone from college that you're going to keep in touch with this summer? Unlike Quad and the way she talks with me.
I would like to thank you for maintaining a relationship with your school and your mother and your friends, unlike a woman I know who runs Q University.
I would like to thank you for having a good relationship with friends when you're on your college campus's quad, as opposed to Quad, who has bad relationships when she's on her life campuses, Miles. Okay, that did not work. It did not work.
So Cecil's like, well, now we'll all be able to hang out in one house. Isn't that great? Now we'll still have the South House because of basketball, but the North House will be our base, and then we'll go from there. And Simone goes,
well, I have been living alone for 9 months. And besides being peaceful, this shit has been so clean.
Cecil's like, now, why is it that when we talk about being a family, hold on, let me scrape some food on the floor here. Cecil! Why is it that it has to be so negative? She's like, all I'm saying is that this house is normally clean. And now that you're bringing your scary ass dog from the Omen into North House, it won't be as clean.
He's like, but you just said for 9 months it's been peaceful and you have this smile this big, okay? And she goes, Cecil, with all the pics you posted on social, grinning and kicking it, you have nothing to say about me, okay? And my past 9 months. And he goes, you were out too. And then they show all these pictures of Simone supposedly partying. And I think Ramona Singer took them all because her eyes are closed. Like, she doesn't look like she's having fun in anything.
Yeah. And so she's like, okay, you're right. So then Michael is just like, you guys are both guilty of the same thing. So, like, what are you guys really even arguing about anymore? And they're like, Michael has more sense than Dr. Jeff, our Skype therapist.
Nene, do not run away, Nene.
So then, what I loved is then, so then everything's still somehow happy, and then after all this talk about we're going to keep the house clean, Michael gets up and promptly drops a soda can on the chair. He's like, Also, by the way, I did not like when Simone shamed Miles for the people he was keeping in touch with, because Miles is like, yeah, I've got like 3 or 4 friends, my roommates, whom we keep in touch with, and that one girl I met up there. And she's like, one girl? And they're like, one girl. Like, give him a break. He's a freshman. It's Miles. She's like, you will come out of your shell when you're ready. I'm like, way to make him feel self-conscious.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was a compliment, like, yeah, it's just one girl, or if it was bad that it was, I don't know. I mean, I think that's good that it's just one girl, right?
I think it's good. And also, like, you know he's probably keeping in contact with a lot of people, because it's not 1967 where the only way you can keep in contact with people is writing on letters to each other. Like, you can – he's probably Facebook friends with all these people. He'll be in contact with all of them.
Yeah. So, Cone, Contessa is in her house looking for a cup, and it's hard for her to reach anything because she's in severe pain. It's like 2 days later. But the music's like,
ooh, party! Yeah, it's a party!
Like, Jesus, people. Like
Kesha was supposed to sing that one. Kesha was supposed to sing that one, but I guess she just sort of forgot. I guess being famous means you forget about your obligations to modern medicine, huh?
So we get Mariah comes to visit with the new cast member, Dr. Jarrett.
Yeah, Dr. Jarrett just sort of arrives. I don't know if she's friend of or full cast member or whatever, but she is here.
And it's old school Housewives where they introduce someone mid-season instead of the beginning of the season, which
yeah.
I liked.
Yeah.
And I think she's a full cast member because they start with the housewarming, and that's so Housewives.
Yeah, that was pretty bold, because Dr. Jarrett, she comes out of nowhere. We find out that she went to undergrad at Xavier with Contessa, and then she's friends with Mariah, and Mariah's like, this is my friend. And, you know, Mariah is, like, the executive producer of the show, so that was her way of saying, cast member. And then Dr. Jarrett's like, yeah, I'm gonna have a housewarming, so you gotta come. And everyone's like, ooh, Dr. Jarrett's housewarming. I'm like, wait, we just met this lady, and she's already hosting a party on this show? Wow.
And the housewarming, which means she got cast and bought a house. So I'm gonna go with full-time.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair, which means that someone's on probation right now. It's either going to be Contessa or Quad, I say. I think that's what that's all about.
Yeah, not sure. They're probably trying to scare Quad, though. You're right. So she has been showing up.
Yeah, so Contessa is, you know, so she went through reconstruction after her mastectomy, right? Is that what she said? So she's asking Mariah about, you know, because Mariah's had her boobs done, like, what's going on with, like, do you have nipple sensitivity? And Mariah's like, ooh, the nipples have G-spots. No one ever told us, ladies, but good morning, ting, ting. Good morning, ting, ting, ting. Ting, 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 ting. Good morning, ting, a ting, a ting.
Good morning, ting, 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 ting,
ting, ting, ting, ting, ting, ting, ting, ting, ting. It's like 35 minutes later.
And I'm not sure if Mariah is just drunk in her testimonials, but, you know, she's always going, yes, yes, and, like, snapping. But now it looks like she's just waving bees out from in front of her face. Like, ting, 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 ting.
like snapping her eyes, you know, like winking and then like waving her arms like there's bees.
I feel like she's just trying to hail a train, like old school style. She's like, ting, 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 ting.
So they start talking about this housewarming, and Contessa's like, it's so soon, but I can't come because I can't even drink. But maybe Scott will swing through and represent the family, which, you know, is fun shade because I love that Scott is forced to, like, show up and fight for her every time now.
I know, exactly. And maybe, like, hopefully she will alert Toya ahead of time that Scott will be the representative so that way Toya won't freak out, even though it's not even Toya's party. But apparently, as we learn later, Toya likes to be looped in on a lot of things.
Yeah, Toya always has to be called.
Yeah.
So Quad is with Aunt Beverly and her mom, Mary.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, how delightful was this? I need this in every episode, please.
They really were delightful. I was like, look at these lovely ladies. Two beautiful ladies having a lovely meal out of little metal takeout. I was like, what's up with this restaurant serving their food in like metal takeaway containers? Come on. You're on TV.
Beverly's like,
have you been here before, Quad? The chef is May. I see it right here on the menu. Her name is May.
And Quad goes,
Auntie May look like she can cook, honey. Yes, Auntie May. Yeah.
Like, this is, I want to be at this.
Can't have a frying pan without a camel on a mountaintop in Brazil. Am I right? Like, oh, there goes Quad again. She's happy again.
And Beverly's like,
you love cooking just like May. I remember coming home and you're just cooking to Stevie Wonder, dancing around the house, burning your fingers because you can't quite see the tray.
And Quad's like, yes! I could always hear peace in the midst of the storm when that quail would chase my boat. And I'd say, what do I ever do to you? Well, hoobly doobly doobly doo.
It's like, Quad, you were making fish sticks. Oh, they aren't the Miss Quad, no matter what. They are Team Quad, hands down. They are for me, and I am for them. And we shall be ordering soon. Because I don't know how I can order without them.
So, she's like, I love my auntie and my mom. I can always hear peace in the midst of the storm. It's been a rage of emotions. Hidey, hidey, and loaded, loaded through the gutter of the despair of the depths. I'm like, oh my God. Quad, you're at lunch. Calm down over there. Jeez. I know.
So Quad starts getting serious because she's been talking about her divorce. And by the way, I liked how during her interview segments, her earrings look like two like deflated Jiffy Pop containers, you know? So Quad's talking, and whenever Quad gets serious, whenever she feels the need to be serious, she tries to talk like a lawyer or like a bureaucrat.
Yeah, so words.
She uses words that, like, technically, yes, they are interchangeable, but they're so overly formal that they just sound totally wrong. She's like, well, I have filed for divorce, and I've packed my bags and found myself a new residence. Like, you just said, you have a new home. You got an apartment. Like, residence is so, she does it all the time. Well, what has transpired is that I've found a residence in heretofore. I shall be residing in said residence.
I have decided it is best to not verbally conversate with thou wast in the residence of our current livabilities.
I am habitating. Habitation.
That's all. I'm fine with the girls, but this is new for me, and I have not had the opportunity to divulge the information to the friendships of the community of the girls speaks. Like, okay, Quad. And Beverly just keeps preparing her. Beverly just keeps saying over and over,
marriage can sometimes lead to a horrible divorce, and I'm praying as clean as possible. Did you sign a prenup?
She's basically like, tell me about the money. Please tell me he's not coming for your money, because he is coming for your money. Is he coming for your money? He better not be coming for your money. I'll kill his ass if he comes for your money.
She's like, listen, I just want to make sure that wherever you move to, he does not get to call the shots on what your kitchen backsplash will be, right?
So it's party time.
Party,
Simone
party.
Is putting on makeup with this weird big polka dot dress thing. And then Curtis tops her with like kind Cecil. Of a houndstooth or a Cecil.
Yeah.
And
they show up. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that then, you know, there's some talk. But then we arrive at Dr. Jarrett's party. And the music, the royalty-free music is like, I'm about to lose it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on and get turned up. And the music's like, get turned up. And they're like walking to like a suburban house. It's like perfectly lovely suburban house. They're acting like they're walking to the ghost bar in Vegas. Like, get turned up at Dr. Jarrett's suburban house. She's got a grill in the back and Wi-Fi in the front.
Well, I guess Aiden is hearing this music because he starts doing some weird chicken dance. What is Aiden doing?
He was singing the Jeffersons. He's like, we're moving on up.
He
was doing the Jeffersons. But he was
oh, my God. Dump to Aiden, too. Well, we're talking about husbands to get rid of. Aiden's on my last fucking nerve.
Yeah.
Okay? I cannot take Aiden. I do not like him getting to fight with the women. I do not like that. And now singing the Jeffersons. And, oh, God. Fuck off, fuck Aiden. Off.
So we also met Dr. Jarrett's husband, Will. I'm just saying that. So we have public record that we have met Will. Toya shows up and she's alone.
No, Uji, because sometimes when you're in a hospital, you have to be on call. What you should have did was like got sick on another day, so we could send an ambulance out there instead of today. But now, no, Uji, so sorry.
Did you notice the Toya shade coming into the house? She's like, it's so cute.
I did not notice, but that's so funny.
That's so Toya. Like,
yeah.
You could come to my house, Warby, after the 5 years it takes to build Versalis.
I was so distracted by Dr. Jarrett's black door frames and door jams. Everything
it was a very modern house for this show. You know, the Atlanta houses we normally see are like that red and white brick. They all look kind of the same.
Yeah.
And this one is like one of those houses, but redone, like modern
stuff. Right. I actually wanted everyone to leave so I could look at the house because I really want to pass judgment on it. And I haven't decided if I like it or not because I couldn't tell.
I like it. It was lovely. I think it was like a Property Brothers house.
It looked very much
it looked like
that.
One of those houses where they're like, guess what we're going to do? Open concept! Yeah. Nobody needs walls anymore. It's 2018. Nobody likes walls.
But it was like semi-open concept, but there were still these random walls that were up. Like there were these random doors.
Those are called load-bearing.
Yeah. We call that important so the roof doesn't cave in. Jarrett style.
Ooh, load integrity. I don't know why I'm talking like that, but in 2020, I'm going to come out with a design show where I'm putting walls back into houses that the Property Brothers have taken. Because, you know, at some point, people are going to want rooms again, okay?
They will.
I don't want to have to be, like, cooking in the kitchen, listening to your TV blaring from 100 feet away in a non-room living room, you
well,
know?
Once people stop aspiring to build room houses that feel larger. The whole reason for open concept is honestly because it makes a space feel large, right? So once people start realizing that they don't want a large space for whatever reason, they're going to go back to walls. And they're going to be like, you know what I really like about this? It's like my own private space, like away from the kitchen. And I like it. I can just watch TV in here.
And no one better steal my idea because that is my show for 2020. It's going to be called Walls Up.
Walls Are Up. Yeah.
Walls Up. Sorry,
I'm getting
Rondell
choked up.
Carol.
I'm getting verklempt right now. Must have a sip of coffee.
And then you could be my partner. He's all negative. You could come in and be like, I love this. It's open concept. And I'll be like, no, Ben, shut up. This is going to be closed concept, okay? Watch me add $1 million to the prize. And by the end, you're going to be like, well, I hate admitting it, but he's right.
It's going to be called open or closed. And half the house will be open concept. And then half the house will be like lots of little rooms. And they have to decide which side of the house they want to live in. It'd be like, love it or list it. And by the way, and I feel like we mentioned this before, but I feel like it has to be reiterated. The woman on Love It or List It, the one who actually like redoes these awful houses, she has such a harder job than that prick who just shows like three houses. Like, oh, look at these three beautiful houses. What an easy job. They should always love it because she puts in way more work and she has a harder job. And I feel like she deserves more respect.
I do, too. I don't like that little queen. He's always like, meh! Like, he's too much. He's too negative. I like that she's like, you're wrong, you little twerp.
I know.
But at the end, she'll still speak with him, you know? He looks like the critic.
He looks like he was on an Eggo Waffles commercial from the 80s. Like, the dad coming back from tennis being like, I'll take one of those. He pulls out the toaster, and then his kid takes it out of his hand just as he's about to bite. Stupid family.
No, he looks like the teacher with a puppet, like a hand puppet on South Park.
Yeah. He just looks like someone you fucking hate at all times.
Okay, so back to Dr. Jarrett's house.
Yeah.
So everybody gathers around, and Dr. Jarrett has this huge picture of her. It's like a billboard picture of her kid. And Tori goes, so, You have a daughter?
So I still have a daughter. I love Toya's cocktail party conversation. So I see you have a front door to your house. Do you like that?
Like, you have a daughter, I have a son. And then the doctor goes, yeah, she'll be 8. I believe in arranged marriages, Toya. And Toya's like, all right.
Toya has no idea Toya's what that concept is.
She has no idea what that means, but she's already mad at Dr. Jarrett for having a new house.
Well, because she's like, why would you have a disarranged marriage? Like, you gotta have a wedding, you gotta arrange something. I don't get it.
So I don't like flash mobs either. I was trying to think of the word for flash mobs because I hate a flash mob marriage. Okay.
Oh, God. So, well, flash mob engagement.
Quad comes in.
And she's, yes.
And she's like, hello.
I'm in a vulnerable place right now, and I don't want to feel vulnerable. So I want a distraction from my vulnerability and my Prosecco. And I just want some love and support because I can't go to a housewarming when my residence warming is so residence cold right now.
And then they show a clip of 5 minutes ago when she was at lunch with her aunts. And she's like, I'm vulnerable! I was like, we just saw this. Why are you showing a clip? So she comes in and she's like, hello! It is me, Quad! And Toya's like, this is crazy. This is about the second time we've seen you in the month, Miss Quad. And Quad's like, oh, Toya, relax.
And Toya's like, it's a good thing. It's a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Have you heard of arranged marriages? Isn't that weird? So then,
this is awkward. I think I'm being positive, but I'm not sure what she's mad at. I'm starting to feel like Gray. I was like, you see, Toya, you're never being positive. You've got shade in every little thing you say.
And so, I love it. Never change.
Dr. Jarrett, the best thing that she did all episode was that she was just sitting there on the couch, and Quad goes, Jarrett, could you get me some water with no ice? And Dr. Jarrett just goes up and gets it. And then Quad's sitting there, and Dr. Jarrett comes back with a glass of water full of ice. I was like, yes.
Oh, ice, I thought she's – I wrote with ice.
Oh, I thought she said no
oh
ice.
Oh, my God, everybody. Go rewind and see if she said with ice or without.
If she said with ice, then that ruins everything.
Yeah. You're wrong. Oh. Closed concept wins. Closed concept wins
Open
again.
Concept loses the episode. Well, the most important thing is that you guys have a great new house, and you'll be happy in it.
So Mariah and Simone have a talk over green beans.
Yeah.
It's the best way to label the scene.
It is.
And that's Simone is like, that is very condescending, don't you think? When she said, relax, Toya. Yeah. That was condescending. And Toya is complaining as loudly as she can right in front of Quad. She's like, so many smiles, so many fake smiles and ridiculous things being said. Ridiculous. And Quad's like, I shall not be moved.
Yeah, so the tension is starting to like grow on the couch, and Dr. Heavenly arrives. She's like, Daddy, here's Daddy right now, and I think I've learned a lot since I went to Miami. And one thing I've learned is that green beans is a great place to make fun of Toya.
I learned how to look at things that people have been through because that's how they act. That's why they act like that. So there's no telling what that bitch Mariah went through to make her act like such a little damn dirty bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, she later on says that Mariah is, she's like, I'm really so happy that I met Mariah because she's a challenge to me. And if I didn't have her, then I probably wouldn't learn so many things about me. So she's really a blessing, that low down dirty bitch.
So then then Toya starts talking about Contessa. Mariah's like, I gotta be honest. Contessa looks good already. And Toya's like, I saw her text that it did. Friends usually know ahead of time. And acquaintances or associates, then that's who you send your condolences. Like, she's making no sense. And Quad goes, girl, she didn't die, girl. You know, we gotta send condolences. She didn't die.
Yeah, yeah. Toya is like, Toya hates Contessa, and now all of a sudden she wants the advanced text message, so that way I could play for her. I'm like, I think actually the last thing Contessa wants are your prayers.
Yeah, no kidding. You'd probably just pray for a bigger house than hers in heaven anyway, you asshole.
Yeah, exactly. So Heavenly and Simone go outside. All the guys are hanging out there talking about things like cigars and penis is. And so she goes out, so Heavenly and Simone go out there, and they start talking about Cecil and Simone, and Heavenly's like, "Now, Daddy, I'm a certified relationship coach, and there's certain things that a man needs. A, he needs to always be wearing scrubs at all times to feel like a man. B, he needs his own recording studio to not make music in, and then you're fine, Daddy."
So, you can sit by Cecil since you had so much to tell me in Miami. And she's like, "Fuck your husband." And then everyone gets really uncomfortable, you know. And she's like, "Daddy, isn't that true? You gotta fuck your husband, Daddy." And he's like,
"I mean, I agree with her, but I don't know that I need to talk about it in front of my friends." And Jackie's like, "Hold on. I need to send a text. Dear Toya, I need to go to the bathroom. Do not be upset that I didn't text you about this earlier. Fit me."
"I will pray for you, Jacqueline."
So, Fitney. Basically, Evelyn's like that all men need, you know, honor and respect first, and the second thing is sex, and Daddy is super uncomfortable about it, and Heavenly, they're like in an interview, and she's like, "Hey, it's true, Daddy, it's true, right?" He's like, "Why do you have to be so mean to me? Why are you putting me on the spot?" So she's like, "You know what? Let's just continue to have sex, and maybe we'll inspire others." So Toya comes outside.
Everyone's getting horny from Heavenly talking about her sex life.
Exactly. So Toya comes outside, and she comes to sit down, and Curtis just bolts out of there because he learned his lesson from last year when he pulled Toya onto his lap.
She acts like she's going to sit on his lap. Yeah. And she's like, "You learning? Yes, Curtis." So Mariah's inside right next to the singer that they hired. She's with the doctor.
It's some like random guitarist.
He's like, oh, he's terrible. And Mariah goes, right in front of his face, Mariah goes, "I'm getting out of here, child." Yeah.
I thought she was getting turned on. That's why.
I thought she was like, "This sucks."
Oh, I thought she was getting turned on and was like, "Whoo, it's getting hot in here." But
again, see, with ice or without ice? I know. I don't know.
Wow, there's so much room for interpretation on this show. It has so many layers.
This show is so poetic, you guys.
Yeah. So now Jackie starts talking to Quad and is like, "How are you? How are you doing?" And she starts saying how Curtis came back to her, but came back right and all this stuff. And it was a humbling experience. And Quad, have you prayed over it? Have you prayed? I'm like, Jackie, every episode is called being like, I've prayed for Gregory. I've also prayed for Sister Circle and my lamb chops and my cookbook and a better black backsplash back there. Here's a terrible backsplash. Like Dr. Gregory and Sister Man, I've prayed.
Jack is doing that thing where she's kneeling between Quad's legs and she's like, "Now, we just want you to get your smile back. That is all I want. I don't see you smile." And Quad's like, "It is challenging on the daily. I often feel very alone." She's like, "Quad, we're here for you, and we want to fill your void." And she's like, "Well, you filled my void, child. Now get off your knees and get.
Quad, put a smile on your face. Make the world a better place. Put a smile on... Jackie, don't you dare sing Vitamin C to me. Don't you dare."
Then we get a close-up of a guy doing artist caricature, like boardwalk caricatures of everyone's face.
What housewarming is this? This is
such a weird party.
This was thrown together. I feel bad for Dr. Jarrett. It was basically like their house, they like just put the last coat of paint on it like 2 days ago, and like, guess what, you're on the show, you have to do a party in 2 days. So they like throw a giant photo on the wall of her daughter. They're like, hire a guitarist, caricaturist, like, what do we do?
Pretty much. It was one karaoke machine short of a success.
Exactly.
So then Quad goes outside to join the group, and Toya, you know, everybody's just blah blah talking. Toya tries to give shade to Scott again, but Scott is a good husband, and he's not going to sit here and get in a fight with a wife, okay? Yeah. So take notes, Aiden.
Yeah.
So Toya's like, "Your wife must be doing better because you here chilling." Bitch, Toya. Such a bitch.
Like she just had her breast removed, okay? God. Can you just, like, chill out? So then Aiden, though, goes like, Aiden's just sitting there. He's like, "Where's Greg? Quad, where's Greg? I don't see Greg. I know why Eugene isn't here, but why isn't Greg here? Where's Greg? I'm like, and even Mariah is like, not in, again, Mariah's like, this is what I do. You don't do this. She's like, Aiden,
You're lucky to have a tongue after that upper, you know, moving on up song. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he really cared where Greg was, because he knows exactly where Greg is. He knows what's going on. They just had their bro time last week, but he would have been like, "Hey, is Greg coming tonight or no?" Like that's how you say it politely. Not where's Greg?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And she keeps telling him, "You're wrong," and he's like, "Well." Quad goes, "Why do you care?" And he said, "Well, because the men are still together.
We roll together.
We roll together. And I don't know what's happening if no one tells me." "Okay, Toya. Okay. Yeah. Okay, Toya." And Mariah's like, "Do not ask. Stop, Aiden. Stop."
Yeah. And Quad's speaking again, and she's overly, because it's like a serious moment for her, you know, talking about Gregory. So she's like, "You have to know why everyone's not present." You can just say you want to know why he's not here. Like, but then she was like, "He might be in a hotel room, Aiden." I was like, "Okay, there we go. Funny Quad."
So Aiden's just a little bitch. And he's like, "Well, I got in trouble, so I'm rolling. And he's doing like those rapper hands. Do you know what I mean? Where he keeps like, "Yo, yo, yo," with his hands. I'm like, "Shut up, Aiden. Like, get out of here, you poser." So he's like, "I'm in trouble, so I'm rolling, homies." And so all the guys go in with him.
Yeah.
And Mariah says something like, "Y'all ring a ding ding, then gone. Ting a ting ting. Yeah, ting ting, ring ring. Better ring ring." Ting-a-ting.
Well, because Toya's like, "Nah, let me ask a question. Like, Aiden, I understand the question. Where is Greg? That's his boy. Like, I understand that question. Because I understand questions now. Like, I've been learning things about language. So I know questions." And so then that's when Toya looks at Quad. And her response to Aiden is like, "Listen, she does have a ring on. That's a good thing, right? She has a ring, which means that she is happily married and has most certainly not filed for divorce the other day. Correct?"
Quad just stares.
Why are you so mad? I'm trying to be positive, but now I'm getting that look of, "Bitch, mind your business."
But yeah, Toya, mind your fucking business. You've thrown shade to how many people so far in this party? Quad twice now. Contessa, who just had breast surgery. Like, Jesus Christ, Toya. Reel it in.
So now Jackie is like, "How do we reconnect as a girlfriend group? How do we do that?" And Toya's like,
"Well, what you should have did is, like, I'm not saying you have to share about everything that's going on, but what you could have did..." And Quad's like, "Are you speaking directly to me? Is it to me?"
She's like, "Well, what I'm saying is, we still have a list connect." And Quad's like, "I wasn't telling you everything because I was protecting my husband.
Actually,
we all have lives. We all have husbands. Some of you have children. We all have careers." And Mariah goes, "Some of them are bigger than ever. Some of them are bigger than others, I guess."
Technically, by the way, I have to correct you because Quad said... And I was so confused. It's like, is she saying that I put on the captions? And she did say it. She goes, "I told you byproducts because I was still protecting my husband." She said, I was telling you byproducts. that word doesn't even make sense there. Like, was she doing chemical experiments? Like, was she creating compounds? Like, I told you byproducts. Literally makes no sense. That's why I love her.
And then Mariah's just trying to jump on this fight. Like, "Well, I guess some careers are important, more important than other careers." I'm like, "You don't have a career. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And then what are you getting mad about right now?
And Quad's like,
"I like to do..." I'll wrap it up since I'm making some people upset a bit. "I keep things to myself on my own.
I never was on my own before. At this residence, heretofore, my product I'm singing to thou.
I'm the rock of my family." And Mariah's like, "We're all rocks, okay? We're all rocks. She's going to fight no matter whatever Quad says, she's going to fight about it."
I know, seriously. I mean, well, first of all, I mean, Mariah, what do you, like... "We are all rocks." Like, don't do that. Like, just let her... She's finally saying stuff. Just let her say it, you know? And then what Mariah goes, "Have you ever built with a man? Have you ever built with a man?" I have built Legos with Gregory. I have built a lot. We made a castle. I have a castle in the clouds with Gregory.
Oh, God. So Mariah keeps trying to start a fight, and then Quad keeps getting quiet, and Mariah keeps trying to start another fight. And then Heavenly is like, I'm not fighting. I just came back from Miami. Well, my bedroom is now a kitchen.
And Quad starts doing a Kelly Ben Simone thing because Mariah's getting mad. She just goes, relax your voice, please. Relax your voice, please. I can't respond to your loud voice.
Yeah, because Simone goes, Heavenly learned that her bedroom is a kitchen, and I learned that people do not like when I yell at them. And Quad goes, I don't like it either, sis. And she and the music goes, Arr! And then she goes, sis, I can't believe you don't like that. Ah! So they start cracking up.
I know. And then there's also a moment when Quad and Mariah are fighting, when Mariah's like, everything is about you, Quad. You make everything about you. And she's like, but you're saying you want to hear from me, so what do you want to know? And then she goes, you're actually trying to infringe on what they say they want. My Quad. Infringement is a byproduct of what I'm telling you about relaxation candles.
Oh, my God. And then it basically ends. The ladies are like, okay, we've all decided collectively not to scream and yell and fight. Let's go inside instead.
Yeah.
And then Aiden's in there like, well, they want to start with me, but you know what? I just got told to be quiet. So, and all the guys are looking at Aiden like, shut up, dude. Like, we're not co-signing this.
Yeah, seriously. And that was pretty much the end of the episode, sort of. You know,
yeah, that brings us to the end of another Married to Medicine. We will be back tomorrow with Real Housewives of Orange County. This week's bonus episode is all about our trip to New York. Go check it out on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and get tickets for Seattle and Nashville, November and December. Coming right at you, everybody. Go get your King of Sarcasm shirts over at watchwhatcrappens.com.
Yeah, guys, talk to you tomorrow. Bye. Bye.
Hello? Is anyone listening? Finally, you're hearing me. I was sexually abused as a child and in the past have been let down by organizations I trusted. That's why the Truth Project was set up. It's part of the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, which aims to give me the opportunity to share my experience confidentially and without judgment. Getting a better picture of the past will help build a safer place for children in the future.
If you were sexually abused as a child, visit truthproject.org.uk.
Feeling tense or stressed out? Calm your mind, body and soul and prepare for the best night's sleep of your life with Clarins new Beauty Sleep Wellness Treatment. Clarins are experts in skincare and also offer luxurious facials and body massages in their skin spas. Their new treatment, Beauty Sleep, incorporates soothing massage and plant-powered products to release stress and a relaxing facial to help calm your skin. Book online today at clarins.co.uk/skinspa. Clarins, it's all about you.